Do you love comic books? Are you looking for a way to help out the Infamous Podcast? Then we have the thing for you. Go to infamouspodcast.com/comixology, click on the link, sign up for your free trial of Comixology Unlimited, and you'll help out the show. That's infamouspodcast.com/comixology. Welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is episode 125, and this time out, we're talking TV. That's right, the Certified Infamous List, Best of 2017. I'm Brian.
This is Johnny.
And it's TV time. Hey, how much TV were you allowed to watch as a kid?
A lot, actually. Yeah, I think a lot.
I watched
stuff that other kids probably didn't get to watch.
Yeah?
Like, I remember watching JR get shot.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I remember watching that actually on TV.
Yeah.
Because we were allowed to stay up late on Friday nights.
Yeah.
So.
Was that? Oh, Dallas was a Friday night show.
Yeah, Dallas was a Friday night.
Do you remember that? Like, people would stay in to watch TV. Like,
yeah.
You know, because, like, they might get to see the rerun over the summer.
Right. Yeah.
But, like, probably not. Yeah, we got a little bit. I watched more than I should have just because I would, like, sneak down to the top of the stairs and watch, like, Twin Peaks and stuff.
Oh.
Or, like, after everyone would go to bed, I'd go downstairs and watch Conan.
Probably like 11 or 12, I was pretty much allowed to watch as much as I wanted.
Yeah. Did you have a TV in your room?
No, that didn't happen until probably like junior year of high school.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I had a small black and white TV that I had one in kindergarten that I put in there and just watched whatever on. But like after they went to bed, I was, you know, if it was a weekend, I was watching TV all night.
You're up till midnight watching the...
I would do marathons to see if I could stay awake the whole night and just watch whatever was on. I've seen a lot of B sci-fi movies and stuff that way.
Probably saw some D sci-fi movies,
too. Yeah. I mean, it was especially great, like, you know, if cable channels were on free for a weekend.
Right.
That's when I would stay up and watch every single movie.
Could you switch your cables in the box and get the free ones for a while? Do you ever remember doing that?
For a while it worked, but most of the time it was just scrambled.
So I think that's why I like TV so much now, is because what I got to watch was like doled out and like such like rationed out that I didn't get to watch like a lot of like the cooler stuff. But
that's more why you binge.
Yeah. I
watch two or three at a time, and there's a show on Netflix that was on last year. It's an Australian show that Netflix co-produced called Glitch.
Yeah,
and I watched it last year, but I totally forgot like the last episode.
Oh,
so I don't know if I fell asleep and slept through the entire last episode.
Mm-hmm.
But I started going back and watching it because they loaded the second season on there, and it's really easy to watch because it's 6 episodes. So that's one where I can binge that in a day.
That's the beauty of those like Australian and British shows is the, you know, the 6 episode seasons.
And this is one where people came back from the dead, but they don't know why.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Very, very cool.
It's not on my top list, but it was actually it's a good show.
So I know you didn't want to do honorable mentions this week, and we're not gonna, but is there anything that didn't make your list that you're sad that's not on your list?
No. I mean, I left stuff off on purpose just because we talked about it ad nauseum.
Yeah.
Like the Marvel stuff and that, but none of them would have been my top shows anyways.
So I had, 10?
You had 10 last
I had 10
week.
And 4 honorable mentions last week, and I pared it down to 7.
Because I figured after last week that 7 was a fair number without honorable mentions, because it's like, you know,
it's 5.
Why not just
mentions.
Do 10 if we're going to do honorable mentions?
But none of the Marvel shows made my list.
No.
So
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was on my list for a minute, but then I was, you know, I took it off for something else.
Did you get caught up yet on the current season?
I have not. No.
Okay. So I don't want to spoil it.
And now with Walking Dead being done for the mid-season finale, we'll probably catch up on those 8 episodes, and we still need to catch up on the DC stuff, and none of that's on my list either.
Yeah.
I mean, even though like the last seasons of everything were good,
mm-hmm.
they weren't that good.
No. Yeah, I don't think any of the DC stuff is
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was probably, of all the superhero stuff on TV, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was the one that was close enough to being on my list.
Yeah.
And I don't feel bad about taking it off my list. It just was not, you know.
You know, as far as when you go between seasons like 3 and 4 or whatever, it's 4 and 5
mm-hmm.
Of S.H.I.E.L.D. last year, I mean, they turned that sinking ship around. And not enough
doing
people
it as
are
an anthology was smart. And I mean, I don't know if they're going to follow that formula this year. I would think they would because it was a good formula to follow it as an anthology that wraps up as one big story.
Well, yeah, it was 2 8-episode arcs that were then like with a 4-episode prologue and epilogue in there. But yeah, it was good. It was on my honorable mention. It was one of the ones that got dropped.
And obviously we're mentioning it. So.
Well, anyway. Well, I was just curious, you know, there was
stuff where I went, did I really like it that much? And then there was stuff where I'm like, yeah, I liked it that much, but there's stuff that's more worthy of mentioning.
Right.
Like there could have been a top 10 list and I could have added 3 more shows.
Well, and to be honest, you asked about YouTube.
Yeah.
And that almost threw my whole thing into disarray. I was like, I'm just going to stick with
what
I have.
Well, it wasn't vlog. You thought I was going to go with one of my vloggers.
I knew you weren't going with vlogs, but there's like news programs I watch.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's, you know, kind of a every week, every few days.
Well, it's the same with the movies. And I mean, we'll talk about movies next week. And it's the same thing on there where there were some documentaries that I could have picked for TV.
Right.
But I was like, nah, you know, TV documentaries are kind of not as exciting.
Right.
And there's a couple movie documentaries I did pick where I'm like, you know, they were fair enough. They stirred something in me.
I haven't watched any 2017 documentaries. Though.
I did 3 or 4 actually.
You know, we watched the Scientology one, the Going Clear, and you know, we watched a bunch of other ones. But at the end of the day, I haven't watched any of the current crop yet. So. All right, let's get to it. Why don't you start with your wild card there?
My wild card? Oh, my YouTube?
Yeah.
My YouTube show. So my YouTube show is Star Trek Continues, which unfortunately is over now, but is on YouTube, so you can watch it. It's free to watch, it's awesome.
How long was it?
11 episodes.
Okay.
11 episodes over... I want to say 3 or 4 years.
And then how long are each episode? It's
an hour long.
Okay.
It's actually the same length that an episode of Star Trek ran in 1960s.
50.
So about 57 minutes.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Oh, they ran longer back then. Commercials weren't as commercialized as they are now.
That's true.
Really good show. Vic Minogana, I think is how you say his last name.
Okay.
And his crew did a really good job. He played Captain Kirk. I think he directed a couple of the episodes.
Oh, cool.
He producer did music. Like this was a show where you could tell it was people just enjoying doing this and they weren't doing it for a profit.
Well, I don't think they were allowed to do it for a profit anyway.
Well, this was they were doing it before the rules were set.
Okay.
But after the rules were set, he went to Paramount CBS and said, "Well, we had already done all the fundraising."
Mm-hmm.
Like they had been doing the fundraising before all the stuff went down with the other series that caused all the controversy. And he went to CBS and he says, "We'd like to finish. You know, can we finish?" Mm-hmm. And they said, "Yeah, you can finish." They said, "But you can't make any more money."
Yeah.
Like, and he was like, "Okay, that's fine. We've got enough money to get everything done. We need to get done." He said in one of the interviews I watched at a convention on a panel interview, he said that they were planning for 13 and they had to cut 2 out because of that. So it was like, and they literally put 3 up this year. So that's,
oh, okay. I was going to ask that.
Yeah. Like, that was the reason why I asked you if it was okay, because literally 3 episodes went up this year. So it felt like that counts for me. And that the finale was a 2-parter, which was cool. They wrapped up everything and explained how Kirk and Spock and all of them got to where they were in the motion picture.
Oh, okay.
Because
so
the plan was,
okay,
yeah, the plan was that this series was year 4 and 5 of the 5-year
mission.
And that they introduced new characters. They brought back characters. They had a lot of cameo guest stars from sci-fi actors, which is
did they
cool.
have any actual like original series cast members
no.
show up ever?
No,
like not even like the red shirts or
they
you know,
had
the doctors and nurses.
Well, no, they had Apollo, the guy who played Apollo, Michael Forrest, I think that's how you say his last name, played Apollo in 1960s,
mm-hmm.
and they brought him back.
Okay,
and they explained it really well. That
why
was the very
older,
that was the very
older.
First episode
oh, cool.
in that, and they explained why he had gotten old, and what had happened, and it was a cool you know cool thing to see them do that. But from there, they tried to go in their own direction, and that. So it was a really good show. I mean, it looked beautiful. I mean, it was Star Trek.
Yeah, the
Vic Mignogna does
was
a really good.
Good
Shatner Kirk. So, you know, and Todd Haberkorn played Spock and did a really good Spock. Chris Doohan, James Doohan's son.
Right.
Played Scotty.
Oh, very cool.
So that was cool. You know, that kind of a link to the past. And that, and
I mean, you've been talking this series up.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those ones where it's like, you know, it's 11 episodes and it's like you watch all the episodes and you want to go back and watch all the extras that they did for each episode.
Oh, okay.
They did blooper reels, behind the scenes stuff. A lot of like different stuff. They shot a few commercials, so it looked like an old Star Trek commercial,
right.
and that type of stuff. But I mean, you know, everything. This was Vic Mignogna's love letter to Star Trek, because he grew up watching the original Star Trek, and you know, I hope to one day actually meet him to shake his hand and say thanks for that, because it was enjoyable.
Thanks, dude.
You know?
Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you've talked about it. It's been on my, like, watch. And I think now that it's done, I'll definitely go check
it out. Yeah, now that it's done, I'll go back and watch it all again. But, I mean, they did a Mirror Universe episode. You know, they did a little bit of everything that was Star Trek, you know, vibe in that. Actually, thinking of Star Trek people, John DeLancey shows up in an episode.
Of course he
but
does.
But he doesn't play Q.
No.
So it's really cool, like what they the way they do that episode is cool too. So
what's
part of that episode's in black and white.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Brian Thompson shows up in every Star Trek
series.
He did
not.
But he never plays the same character.
Yeah.
He was on the Orville.
Right.
So
well, I think it's one of those things where people, you know, they probably ask people, but it's like if you're not getting a paycheck, some people won't
I'm sure
do
availability
it.
And things like that.
But you know, Vic is at conventions because he's played a lot of anime voice characters. So he's at conventions all the time and he sees a lot of these people and a lot of the guests.
Yeah.
I think were because of that reason. Like Gigi Edgley shows up in an episode. Jamie
cool.
Bamber shows up in an episode. Trying to remember who. Anne Lockhart shows up in an episode. So
very
it's
cool.
It's cool because it's a lot of the what you would call sci-fi royalty just coming in and playing roles. Rika Sharma was on an episode.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll do my first one. That's our crossover, because we do have a couple crossovers, which you guys should probably expect that because we like a lot of the same stuff. So my first one is Voltron Legendary Defender.
Right.
We got essentially three seasons out of them this year, which was we got 26 episodes of Voltron split out
in the whole year,
split up over the year between January and October.
Yeah, and we reviewed this.
And we did. And
so it's like, you know.
But the thing about it is, they crushed it, man. That first season was a very formulaic Voltron season, right?
Sure, yeah.
Very much like the 1984 Voltron and the structure of the way the stories were told.
Batteries to
it
power.
The Robeast,
you know,
and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Season two.
They've gone.
They went a little different, and, you know, there was still kind of the
I think
battle
it was the
and,
thing of let's see if people will get upset if we change Voltron.
Let's start changing things subtly, making Keith a Galra at the end. I think when people didn't freak out about Keith being a Galra, and
they were like, okay, we can,
and Shiro being what Shiro is or was or will be,
we don't even know yet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think that's where with season three they're like, sweet, the gloves are off, we're messing this up.
Yeah.
Not messing up, but like we're
let's,
having fun
let's,
with
let's
this.
Go crazy and see what we can do. And it's kind of like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was, where it's like there's the formula, but let's see what we can bring in. And like I think they literally used everything from the history of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles except Venus de Milo.
Yeah.
At some point in this show. That's the only thing. The female turtle did not show up, and I think that's because that's more of a negative. thing. But with Voltron, we've seen Sven this year.
We saw Sven. We got alluded to with the car Voltron, like you were talking about. We got Lotor.
Yeah.
You know, we got, you know, it was just, they really did such a good job with it. We got the Princess Allura in the Blue Lion.
Yep.
The Blue Lion. Lance made his way over to the Red Lion. You know, so it kind of fits, but then they shook things up again where Keith is off doing this other thing and Shiro
is back in
air quotes.
Yeah.
Shiro 3 is back in the Lion. But again, Studio Mir crushed it with the animation.
Yeah.
You know, the production team with Joaquin and Laura are killing it. It's just one of those things where Laura Montgomery. That this show, I like it way better than the 1984 Voltron.
Oh, well, yeah.
I love the 1984 Voltron.
It's kind of,
you know?
It's kind of like, you know, and I'm comparing it to other stuff, but like the He-Man and the Masters of the Universe that was on in the early 2000s,
which I really enjoyed.
Really awesome. Was, you know, I have a soft spot for the original He-Man, but that one was like more story, more build up, mm-hmm. and it was like, you know, they had a third season planned where they were going to introduce Hordak in that, and I'm like, man, it's like it would have been great if this show would have been on during the Netflix period where, you know.
And the animation for that was awesome.
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, Adam and He-Man look completely different.
Yep.
It was really cool. All right, so what's next on your list?
This Is Us.
Was an honorable mention for me.
Right.
So did not make my top seven.
I don't know why I started watching it, but I seen it on Hulu one day and I was like, I'll just check this out. And I literally watched the first episode. I'm like, okay, I'm you know.
That first episode.
I'm pulled in. Yeah.
That pilot, as far as like a network drama goes.
Yeah.
One of the best pilots in network TV.
And
history.
I think, you know, it was because I seen Mandy Moore and Milo Ventimiglia.
Yeah.
We're on it, and I was like, well, I like them both, you know.
Yeah, and that Major Dad.
Yeah, and then, yeah, and then when he showed up, I was like, oh, cool, Gerald McGraney's on here.
Right.
And that, just a really well-done show. I, you know, we've seen shows with flashbacks. This is not a sci-fi show. This is nothing like, you know, nothing of that kind of thing. But the flashbacks in this show are totally, like, worth watching the show.
Did you watch Parenthood?
No.
Okay. So it's a Jason Katims.
Yeah.
So Friday Night Lights, Parenthood, the new one with Ted Mosby coming out on NBC later about the theater teacher.
Okay.
Coming, it's going to be on NBC.
Is this one of his shows?
This is one of his.
Okay.
All right.
That makes sense then.
He's, you know, it's not, he's not the showrunner or anything like that,
right.
But he's on the production team. It's Dan Fogelman,
okay. Yeah,
whatever. He's the guy behind this. Who, you know, he's fantastic.
Sure, I've heard his name before.
I love this show.
Yeah,
like I'm right there with you. I think what they do best with the flashbacks is how it ties into whatever their current
whatever's
dilemma
happening to
is.
Them, yeah.
But it does not have a happy ending every week.
No, oh no, no.
Which it's just Parenthood
and it
didn't.
Shouldn't.
Yeah, and Parenthood and Friday Night Lights did not have happy endings. This is very much, you should go back and watch, or you should go watch Parenthood.
Parenthood.
It's all on Netflix right now.
I'm sure it's on probably all of them.
Maybe.
It's probably on Hulu too.
Sure,
I mean,
but it's this, you have this cohesive family unit, you know, and they shake things up. Like, spoiler, you know, Mandy Moore, who I kind of think they should have got Diane Lane to play the older version of her.
Yeah, that would be.
Because she kind of looks like Diane Lane.
Yeah.
But I get why they put her in the old person makeup.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to have two people playing the same actor, and the makeup is great. Like you can't.
Yeah, you can do the kids because there's three times that they're showing the kids, when they're teenagers, and when they're adults.
Right.
So you can do that, but having a different person play one of the parents.
Yeah.
You know, the other parent is dead in the present day, but you know he's alive, and but having her put on the old lady makeup and all that, and it's like, you know. It's kind of seamless. I mean, it's like she literally looks like she's aged.
She does. And it's great makeup work. And did you watch Scrubs?
A little bit, yeah.
So she did a 2-episode guest spot
on
Scrubs
I've
where
never
she
seen
dated
that, but...
Zach Braff. And one of the things that they did because they were both super weird is they put on old people makeup and took a picture together so that way if they ever broke up, they knew what they would look like together as old people.
Okay.
And so that's kind of my head goes there a lot when I see her in the old person makeup. But they do such a good job with the twists, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we know Jack is dead. We find that out in the second or third episode.
Something like that, yeah.
But she shows up with his best friend in the latter days. And it's like, was there an affair? Like, you know,
when they finally explained that this year.
Yeah,
it's like they finally, like, put it out there this year of what had happened.
Way to go, Facebook.
Yeah, and I'm like that was genius. I'm like, that was like one of the most like genius things they could have done because I'm like, that totally makes sense.
Yeah, and it wasn't just
because
it,
he found, like, you know, he tells Jack multiple times your wife is like smoking hot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, that would make sense. Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
He lost touch with her, he lost touch with the family, and
she popped up on his people you might know list, and exactly. Yeah, there you go. And I love how the kids aren't really down with him being their stepdad, which is kind of funny.
I think that, like, you know, yeah, especially number one and number two.
Yeah.
Are definitely, I can't remember their names at the moment, but yeah, Justin Hartley's character and the sister,
Kevin.
Yeah. I'm sorry that I don't remember her name. They are definitely not.
Yeah.
Too hot on it, but you know,
and Randall doesn't really.
Randall's like okay with it just because Randall's always felt like an outsider, anyways. So he kind of, I think their relationship kind of is like they're both the outsiders, And you know,
he welcomes them more
than the other two do,
I will say this though, the second
it's just
season,
it's a weird thing,
right?
Like, you know, even I'm like, well, that's kind of weird,
yeah. There's no sophomore slump in this show, though.
No.
None whatsoever. The second season is better than the first.
Yeah, yeah. So. Definitely, like, they've upped their game. I mean, the last three before they went on break, the 1, 2, and 3,
mm-hmm.
were, like, heartbreaking.
Oh, all the way around.
Yeah, like, there was there was literally, like, you know, like, wow. Wow, yeah. It's like, you get dusty, your house gets dusty. And
yeah, I'm
just sitting there kind of like, son of a bitch. It's like, I'm literally like, what the hell just happened?
Yep.
So, cool. That's my next one.
All right, so my next one is, it was supposed to be a limited series on HBO,
mm-hmm.
Put together by David E. Kelly, but they actually just announced that's coming back for a second season
with the
cast members. From the first season, and it's Big Little Lies.
Okay, what's this show? Oh, is that the one with Nicole Kidman?
This is the Nicole Kidman, Reese Witherspoon, what's her name from Divergent? Shailene Woodley. It's based on a book of the same name.
I've looked at this, and I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, it's got Alexander Skarsgård in it. My man crush Paul Rudd is in there.
Oh, wow.
Or not Paul Rudd, I'm sorry. Adam Scott is in there.
Oh, okay.
Who's great. I love him to death. You know, Zoe Kravitz is on there, which
cool.
is funny. You know, her and Shailene being in the Divergent movies together, and here they show up in this. Laura Dern. Laura Dern is great in this show. I think she might have gotten nominated for a couple of awards because of this.
The Golden Globes just came out, but
I didn't even bother to look. But it's about these people who live in Monterey. Their kids all go to... the really nice school there.
Sure.
Shailene Woodley has moved there from out of, you know, the blue.
Ah, she's the outsider.
She's kind of like running from whatever.
Okay.
And well, it's not whatever because I'm not going
to
spoil this.
So does she have a kid? Like, all
she has a kid.
Everybody's kids go to the same school.
And they all go to the same school. Okay. And the series opens with Reese Witherspoon has a flat. And like everyone just drives right by her, right?
Yeah.
And Shailene Woodley stops and gives her and her daughter a ride to the school because they're going to the same school. And that's where she hits it off. They hit it off.
Oh, okay.
Reese is like, no, you're going to coffee with me. And, you know, it's a friendship. And you know, they're, you know, she's like, oh, I wonder what her deal is. Is she poor? Is why she here? She has a kid. She doesn't talk about
the curiosity thing. Yeah.
So it turns out that Shailene Woodley's character was raped, and that's where the kid came from. That she got pregnant from the rape. And it turns out it's someone in Monterey.
Oh, she's looking for...
No, she's not looking. That's the thing.
Oh,
like,
okay.
She doesn't remember... Like, she doesn't necessarily remember who it is, and kind of they... they push her to, you know, kind of think about it, and, you know, they find someone who they think it is, which is total red herring.
Okay.
Anyway, it's a really good, you know.
So it's kind of a mystery.
It is a total mystery, and it's 7 episodes, and the payoff is really good.
Okay.
You have 4 fantastic actresses between Nicole Kidman, Laura Dern, Reese Witherspoon, and Shailene Woodley. Mm-hmm. And 5, I'm going to throw Zoe Kravitz in there because she's really, really good in this as well. But it's just really well written, well acted, well produced. Like, everything about it is good. And I think I made a joke when it ended to HBO, like the night of last year, right?
Yeah.
I think I tweeted at them and said, hey, this is the best show I'm going to forget I watched.
Oh, okay.
But I actually went back and watched it a second time.
Okay.
And it's that good. And it holds up. You know, a lot of those mysteries don't really hold up. Like the Night Of didn't necessarily hold up the second time through.
Yeah, and I have never watched that one.
And again, it's partly because of the mystery and partly because of Making a Murderer
kind
of affected the second time through of that show. But yeah, Big Little Lies, man. It's don't sleep on it. It's definitely, you know, definitely worth watching. It's got a second season coming, so there's going to be more. But yeah, and like I said, it's based on a book which I did not read.
Okay. Do you want to do another one of the crossovers?
Yeah, why don't you pick a crossover?
Mindhunter, is that on your list too?
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about that.
We did. We did an hour on Mindhunter.
Yeah.
So,
not much more we can say about it.
It's
on Netflix. I really enjoyed it.
It's coming back for a second season. Was
watching.
Announced. Finally.
Yeah, I'm glad that's coming back. The only thing I can really say about it is if you like X-Files, this is a show to watch.
It's a less supernatural version.
Well, it's not
X-Files.
A supernatural. It's no supernatural at all.
Yeah.
It's like, but if you like the X-Files, this has that vibe to it, but on a more normal thing, you know, even the serial killers are not normal.
No.
And that, but like,
it's got Anna Torv. So if you're
if you're a fan of Fringe, definitely check it out just for Anna Torv. But it's just a really well done show. So definitely like I recommend this one.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Pretty much all I can say about that. Put a link in there for the show where we talked about it.
Yep. Or just go to the website and search for it. It's right there. Very cool. All right. I'm going to go with another crossover because I think this is the last one.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones.
Yep.
We did a whole recap. We had Kenny on.
Yeah.
We talked about it for well over an hour and a half.
Yes, it was, wasn't it?
Season 7 of Game of Thrones was bonkers. It was just crazy what they were able to do in 7 episodes.
Imagine if the show, if they would have just done that, like every season would have just been 7 episodes where
the
story would have been so much more tighter.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think though.
And I haven't gone back like you and rewatched and that, but Elva did.
Yeah.
And Elva's like, there's stuff I forgot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, because it's so long. Like each season was so long.
They were,
and then there was a break.
So long in the fact that they were 10 episodes.
Yeah,
you
but
know?
Then there was a break, like too long of a break. And I'm like,
it was always about a year.
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, you're going to forget stuff.
Yeah, but I think they do that. So you go back and watch.
I forgot that the kids look so small.
I forgot Bran's Prince Valiant haircut. No, I mean, this one was great. It was, you know, a lot of people complained about, they used the term jetpacking. Because they kind of just like chewed their way through.
Oh, like the traveling stuff?
Traveling and things
Porkies.
Like that.
Porkies.
Yeah, thing, Porkies. You know? You know, it had the whole joke that Varys was a mermaid. That's why he was able to get around the world so fast.
Oh, I could.
Well, no, because there was a whole thing. It's like, well, you never saw his feet, but like the entire first season you see his feet.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was a mermaid where he would just like
Varys
float
is
along.
The only one I would believe would have a Porky.
Yeah, exactly.
I found this in a field. It fell from the sky.
Yep. So.
It gets me where I want to go fast.
but yeah, so it was great. It was a great season. I'm looking forward to the end. At this point, it's fan fiction. It's not following the books.
Alternate universe.
Yeah, alternate universe. But you know,
I'd like to say that the Walking Dead TV series is an alternate universe,
especially now.
I mean, you know, any of the ones where it's based off of something, but they go in a different direction, To me, that's an alternate universe.
So I have to say, I did not watch The Walking Dead at all this year.
Okay. You said you weren't going to.
So I did not miss it.
You didn't watch it last year, though, did you?
I didn't watch the second half.
Okay.
I watched Glenn get his brains beaten in.
Yeah, that's true. You
did. And Abraham get his brains beaten in. And then Negan go monologuing for 45 minutes. Yep. And I was done with it. Anyway, all right, so my next one,
mm-hmm.
since that was our last crossover and I have three left and you have two. Is
you have three left? How did that happen?
Because we did two crossovers in a row.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, Legion.
Yeah.
On FX.
Yeah. I watched the first episode of this, but
I've seen in probably 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, the first episode is 90 minutes long. It should have been 45.
Well, and the thing about it is like, you know, I don't disagree with you. Except for the end of the pilot makes the whole episode worth it.
Absolutely.
Like the little, literally the X-Men battle at the end of the episode makes that whole episode go, this all makes sense.
Waiting 90 minutes to get there rough because it was plotting and it was slow. And I think it was Noah Hawley just being weird to be weird for some of it.
Yeah.
Which you haven't watched any of Fargo, have you?
No, I haven't watched Fargo.
I haven't watched the most recent season.
Yeah.
But I will.
It's one of those things where
Hulu.
I pick and choose what I watch, and it's like, you know, especially now that it's cold, it's like now's the time where if I'm a day off and I don't have anything to do, that's when I'll end up watching something like that or Legion or whatever.
Sorry,
I think
so
Legion's on Hulu now. Like
it is.
The complete.
And season two comes back in February, so it's time to get caught up. But, you know, Matthew Crawley as David.
Dan Stevens.
I know. Dan Stevens. As,
the Beast. The Beast the as beast. David.
Yes, there you go. You know, this is, to me, this is his star-making role. He is so, he does such a good job as
Some
David
Some would
Holler.
Say Matthew Crawley was a
well,
star-making role.
I get that. This is his mainstream role, right? This is what's going to get him known in America. I mean, I've been a fan of his since The Guest. Which, because I hadn't seen Downton Abbey before.
Right.
I saw
The
Guest.
Before.
And I saw The Guest, and I was like, who is this guy? He's freaking amazeballs.
Well, and the funny thing is like, you see The Guest, and then you start watching Downton Abbey. Like, I was watching Downton Abbey before I seen The Guest. He slimmed down.
Dude, he got, like, ripped.
For The Guest. Yeah. And it was like, you know, it makes sense, like, toward the end of his run on Downton Abbey. It's like, well, he looks thinner.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, he must have did it for that movie and then came back and it was like, okay.
No, I think he was off of Downton. I think he was just getting into shape to get some better roles. He didn't want to be the fat friend.
Yeah, well, there you go.
But, no, Rachel Keller as Sid. So if you're familiar at all with Legion, the characters are right. As
but
far as
the X-characters.
The X-characters are right, but the story is out there. So Rachel Keller as Sid is great. She can't, so her power is anyone she touches they switch consciousness essentially. And so that happens with David where
it has like some severe consequences,
like he has a whole psychic breakdown because of Audrey Plaza.
Right.
Who is just
so my question, and you know, I don't want you to spoil it for me or anything, but this is a question I actually want an answer to. Is she in his head or is she actually real?
Both.
Okay. All right.
She's
well,
a character.
Then that makes sense.
She's an ex.
I mean, just because of the first episode, like stuff that happens to her in the first episode, I'm like, is she in his head or is
she's
she real?
An ex villain?
Okay.
I'll leave it at that.
Shadow King. She's Shadow King.
Yep.
Okay.
Anyway.
And, you know, watching one episode. I got it just from watching one episode.
And, you know, you suspect it all along.
Okay.
What happens in the finale with Shadow King?
Yeah.
And the X bomb that's dropped on David is so freaking cool. The way, or it was a penultimate. It's so freaking cool the way they do it. It was, you know, with the whole Professor X and all of that.
Well, yeah, because in the comic, he's always been, you know, his father.
Yeah.
You know, well, never, like, confirmed, but you know,
it's, yeah.
But, I mean, because Legion set up the whole Age of Apocalypse thing, like the Legion quest.
And Onslaught, you know, came out of Legion and all of that. Bill Irwin is in the show.
Okay.
He's great. Jermaine Harris.
I don't know that.
From Flight of the Conchords.
Oh, okay.
He's the voice of the crab in Moana.
Okay, yeah.
he's in here.
Vampire.
Yeah, he's in. Yeah,
he's one of the vampires. What We Do in Shadows.
Whatever. Yeah. Jean Smart.
Oh wow! Really?
Is great. She's his wife, and then her name is Amber Midthunder. Is the she plays Carrie Loudermilk.
She has an awesome name.
She does. So her and Bill Irwin's characters are okay. Are tied together. And then Kate Alston from The League is Amy Holler, David's sister.
Oh, okay.
So, which is pretty.
Well, that's
it's
okay.
You find out more. It looks awesome. It's this trippy. So if you've seen any of Fargo,
The first episode, like especially when they're in the institution,
right,
is very trippy. Like very
it,
like.
So later,
should I have been doing drugs while I'm watching?
Later
this?
On, they go back.
Yeah.
To the institution.
Yeah,
it's so good. But it just the look and feel of this show is really, really good.
Yeah.
He did such a good job setting up the aesthetic, and they built this world out relatively quickly.
Yeah.
And to keep in mind, it's half of this show happens in the world, a fourth of the show happens in his mind.
Yeah.
And then a fourth of the show happens somewhere completely different.
Okay.
So that may or may not be an
that
astral
can be,
plane.
That
kind
would
of
actually
thing.
Be helpful to watch the show.
So but yeah, the
You're right.
Show,
I mean, you're right. The pilot like kind of plods along.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
But it's like
it's so hard to get
visually
through.
it's cool looking.
Because I watched the pilot and it's like, I don't know if I'm gonna watch this. And I went back after episode 3 aired.
Yeah.
And I binged 2 and 3 and I was like, I'm in. I'm all in.
Okay.
So, you know, because I like to give things 3 episodes.
Well,
because,
sure. Yeah.
Like, as good as the This Is Us had as a pilot,
yeah.
That's how bad this pilot was in my
okay.
opinion. So,
okay.
Anyway. But yeah, so Legion, it's on FX. It's coming back in February. Make sure you watch it.
Okay.
All right. What's your
next one? Longmire. It's over now, but. This last season was awesome.
Yeah.
It went up the same day as The Punisher did. So
yeah.
I'm sure that was a problem. But
well,
I finally,
was it? Because I don't feel like that's necessarily the same fan base.
I don't know. I mean, that's one of those ones where I'm like, it kind of feels like it could be, but it kind of doesn't at the
right.
same time. I mean, I'm sure there was a crossover there, but, you know, really good show. Just a really good
show.
You
said that.
Yeah, it was on A&E.
I was going to say, was it A&E or AMC?
It was A&E, okay. And it got canceled, and Netflix picked it up, and Netflix gave them the amount of seasons they needed to complete the story.
Did they get 3 additional seasons?
Three
Is
additional,
that what it was?
Yeah, it was originally, I think, only going to be 5 seasons.
Okay.
And, like, they went and told them, we're not going to be able to finish the story in 5 seasons. And they're like, well, we'll give you a 6th season.
And was it always 13 episodes?
I think so. I think
okay.
even the A&E was
yeah.
13 episodes. It's just with the A&E, and this is, we've talked about this. Watching it on A&E was hard because of commercials.
Yeah.
Like, literally, even DVRing it, it was hard because, you know, you're fast-forwarding through commercials, but it's still, like, dragging, kind of.
Yeah.
And watching it on Netflix,
it flows much
it
better.
It flows so okay. much better. And I mean, the cast, you know, is a great cast, and that Robert Young and Lou Diamond Phillips, Katie Sackhoff really did a great job.
Is Lou Diamond Phillips a good guy or a bad guy?
He's a good guy.
Okay.
But, you know, everybody has bad things that they've done in the past, I
okay.
guess you would say. Like, nobody is perfect on this show at all. Like, they all are very, very, very flawed. And that, so it's just one of those things where, you know, bad things happen to good people sometimes.
Okay.
And that, but by the end of the series, they wrap it up and put a nice bow on it.
Okay. It was
and
a satisfying conclusion.
I was very satisfied.
That's important.
One thing threw me off a little bit, but, you know, it's just, it was me, I think, more than anything. But by the very end, the last scene with Longmire, I was like, okay. If they don't ever come back, like if they don't, you know, I could see them doing like a movie
okay.
or something. But if they never came back, I'd be totally satisfied
cool.
with the way it ended.
I think that's the best thing you can say about
yeah.
a TV show.
Yeah. I mean, I've told you, I liked Katie Sackhoff on Battlestar Galactica, you know, but on this show, so much better.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, this character, and, you know, I've never read any of the books, but this character was made for her.
Okay.
And it's more of, you
know. Is this character in the book? Is her character in the book?
I think her character is in the book, but I mean, I think that.
But it was a guy. And
it's possible.
Yeah, I know, I'm kidding.
But, like, there's more, like, more given to her to do with than there was on Battlestar Galactica.
Ah.
Like, there's still the crying, weepy moments with Katie Sackhoff because it seems like that's what people want her to do.
I don't.
And but, like.
I like her kicking ass.
There, and you get that a lot in this.
Cool.
And I mean, but, like, this season, some bad stuff happened to her, and she played it so well that I was like, man, she should get nominated for, like, a Golden Globe or something. For
yeah.
Just that stuff.
A streamy.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Very cool. All right. Anything else?
But all six seasons are on Netflix, so check them out.
I added that to my list after you told me that it was over. All right, so my second to last one is The Leftovers.
Mm-hmm. Which we also talked about.
We talked about ad nauseum.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I love this show so much.
Yeah, I thought it had a really good ending.
I love that they the way they explained things, but didn't.
Yeah.
I liked the... kind of the twist with the time jump that you didn't expect. And I mean, what
well,
can you
I like
say?
The I whole mean, explanation, like, you know, and I go back and think about it, you know, it's not a show that I really want to go back and watch again, but I think about it in my head sometimes, like, you know, when you're just like doing one thing and you're thinking about another thing, the explanation of what happened to the disappeared people was so good.
And it was heartbreaking.
And satisfying at the same time.
Okay, I'm going to, like, just a minor spoiler.
Yeah.
Like, so 2% of this world disappeared.
Right, yeah.
And it fell into complete disarray.
Right.
The departed, 98% of the world disappeared.
Yes.
And they seemed somehow to get their shit together.
They were. It was easier for them because I think there was less of them. And it wasn't like, you know, nothing happened. Like, the thing that in the real, like, in the reality with 98% was that people were waiting for a rapture.
Right.
They were waiting for a, you know, God's coming, the devil's coming.
They were thinking they were going to get to go too.
Yeah. And it literally, when they showed the 2% world, they didn't have that. They didn't do that. They didn't panic.
No, they were raptured. And they were like, oh, okay, we're the chosen few.
Oh, we were the chosen. So it's like, you know, but it didn't look like they went into total chaos. It just looked like they were... We got to figure out how to survive.
Yeah.
And
I think as far as Damon Lindelof goes, this might be the best thing he's done in his career.
So far, yeah.
And that includes Lost.
Yeah. I'd agree. I mean, we talked about it. I think the lessons he learned from Lost made this show better.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think having Mimi Leader there to
support
him
thing.
And back him up.
When she came on around the... fourth or fifth episode of season one as a director.
Yeah.
And then she became an executive producer. And I mean, she's such a great just film person. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you know, I like her directing that the George Clooney
Peacemaker.
The Peacemaker with Nicole Kidman. That's a great movie. It tells a really cool story.
Oh yeah.
And she makes George Clooney awesome.
Yeah.
Awesomer. Not that George Clooney's ever bad.
Right.
Well, Batman.
Batman.
But the performance,
the return of the Killer Tomatoes, the Facts of Life.
Yeah,
those are the three. No, Roseanne. He was in his best role in Roseanne.
Anyway,
I would have liked to have seen him come back, and I hope that maybe they can get him to come back for that Roseanne.
That'd be hilarious.
If they got him to come back, as an executive or something.
Oh yeah,
that would be great. Or he became an actor.
The performance that she pulled out of Justin Theroux.
Oh, man.
Like, I've liked that guy. I liked him in...
But he's that guy.
Yeah, he's always just that guy.
But,
like, he was
but
good
now
on
when
Parks
I see him,
Rec
I'm like, hey, that's that guy from Leftovers.
That's Kevin Garrity right there.
I just call him the sheriff.
Yeah. But Carrie Coon was the best part
Where
of this
show. Where
did
she come from?
Nowhere.
Yeah.
She had two credits before
I mean,
this.
She
was Gone Girl. And then this... And then she did recent season of Fargo. But, man, that woman can act.
The thing about it is we didn't even recognize her until, like, I had gone on there when we were talking about it and looked her up. And I'm like, wait a minute. That was Ben Affleck's sister?
Yeah.
And I'm like, she is a good chameleon.
She's She's like, oh, I just, she blows my mind.
But and even Christopher Eccleston.
He was great.
I was like, you know,
Tyler,
man,
was good. Angie Brennan?
Yeah.
Amy Brennan. You made me like a TV show with Amy Brennan.
Yeah.
Who does that?
She ruined NYPD Blue.
Yeah, it was just, wow. I just can't say enough good things. Regina King in this show.
Yes.
I was so sad we didn't get more of her in season three, but I understand why we didn't, because it wouldn't have made any sense to have her in the story. But in season two, Regina King's character is one of my favorites with her arc.
They did a really good job with the whole story.
But yeah, okay. So The Leftovers, if we didn't say it already, it's HBO. All three seasons are on the HBO app.
Just go to our search bar and type The Leftovers in. It'll come up.
Yeah, you can come over and check it out. But yeah, we got a great final season out of that one as well. So, you know, again, we have a couple things on here that wrapped, you know, in 2017. Yeah. And for, you know, they told good stories.
Yeah.
All right. What's your last one?
My last one, Star Wars Rebels, again.
I told you I was saving that for
2018. Well, it was on there last year, and I'm like, it's literally this was the one where I was like, I debated leaving it off.
Did you think I was going to have that on my list?
No, I didn't actually. But I was like, I debated leaving it off my list because it was on there last year, and I went, no, you know what? It's just a really good story.
The only thing I carried over from my list from last year is Game of Thrones.
Oh, really? Okay.
And Game of Thrones won't be on my 2018 anyway. So.
Yeah. But I mean, it's just a really good show.
It is.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I'm so happy the way it's going out right now. Yeah. It seems like it's going to end on a high note. I watched Twilight of the Apprentice the other day again from the finale of season two. But yeah.
This is one where I actually think I might go back and watch it all before it comes back on.
So we did that, right? I told you what we did with Star Wars, where we watched
everything
chronologically. Mm-hmm. Like we didn't start with episode four. We started with episode one and watched chronologically.
Yeah.
And, you know, since I'm going on Friday, but the three of us are going on Sunday, which the only place I could find tickets at like a normal hour where three of us could sit together was the IMAX.
Okay.
Which shocked me that the IMAX wasn't completely sold out.
Okay.
And we got good seats too.
I'm going on Thursday. I'm going on Saturday. I'm going on Monday.
And then the kid and I will go see it over Christmas break a couple times too. But yeah. All right. So my last one. And this one, like I say,
this movie better not be bad.
What?
this movie better not be bad. what's your last one?
My last one. And I say these are in no particular order, but this is my favorite show of the year so far.
Okay.
It's The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
I like that.
It's the Amazon.
So did you watch the whole thing then? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Like, I've been.
Because that was one of those ones that was part of the pilot
season earlier in the year with the tick. I Love Dick and Jean-Claude Van Johnson.
Yeah.
Which was great. That's coming out soon, too. And I Love Dick got nominated for Golden Globes. This got nominated for Golden Globes, too. This comes from Amy Sherman Palladino.
Yeah,
who did Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, Gilmore Girls.
And it stars Rachel...
Brochan.
Brochan, thank you.
Yeah.
Who was on House of Cards.
Right, yeah. I can't remember the name of it.
She's been in a few things.
Well, she was in the one that was on WGN that was about the nuclear testing site.
Oh, Manhattan.
Manhattan, yeah. She played the wife of one of the main characters on that.
It's got Alex Borstein, who is Lois on Family Guy. Tony Shalhoub is great. But this show, it takes place in the 50s.
Yeah.
And... you know, it's like Lenny Bruce shows up.
Because it's supposed to be like her getting into comedy and becoming a comedian.
I'm a gigantic stand-up comedy nerd.
Right.
We don't talk. This is something we haven't really talked about on the show, is my absolute love for stand-up comedy being my favorite form of entertainment to leave the house to go see.
Yeah.
But watching her go through what she needs to go through to become a successful comic and to actually be funny is great, because she got lucky.
Well, how many episodes?
It's eight episodes.
Okay.
It might be seven.
Including the pilot, it would be
eight. It's
eight,
including the pilot.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's...
I mean, it was one of those ones where, like, you know, we talked about that pilot season and how I didn't really like I Love Dick.
Yeah, I didn't like I Love Dick.
Jean-Claude Van Johnson was okay.
It was quirky and fun.
The Tick was weird, but this was the one where I was like, I want to see this one.
I think as far as the pilot seasons go for Amazon, this year was the strongest year that they had for those. Actually, Jean-Claude Van Johnson comes out on the 15th.
Well, no, so what I want to see that I don't know if they're actually going to produce is the one with Rob Stark.
Yeah, that comes out next year.
Oh, is it actually coming? That was a really good one too.
Yeah, it had both that had the King and the King in the North.
Yeah,
because Mark Addy was in it as well.
Right.
So the term I'm gonna use a couple curse words here, but
yeah, sure.
So she goes through and she's, you know, going through and she lucks out, right? She kills with her first few sets.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes on stage and just eats shit, right? Yeah. She just bombs, you know, and she's like, it's the audience's fault because she's this housewife, right? She's a 1950s housewife who, you know, is super Jewish, is super sheltered, you know.
Yeah.
She majored in Russian literature, which her dad told her, you know, not to do. She has always done everything her own way, and it has seemingly worked out.
Yeah.
And now her life is falling apart. Her husband cheated on her, moved out, moved in with the mistress. She found out that they didn't own the apartment, that his dad did. His dad kicked her out.
Yeah.
You know, it's this whole ordeal, right? But wow, I mean, these characters are so good. She goes and gets a job at one of the department stores. And the way she interacts with the women there is so great. I can't say enough good things about it.
Well, she's a very good actress, and I think this is, like, you know, perfect for
her.
She's
a very new actress, too.
Well, like you said, Dan Stevens, Legion is his introduction to an American audience. And I think this is a very good way of introducing her as a star.
This is her first step to the movies.
Yeah.
She will be a movie star. She's beautiful. She can act. You know, in the pilot, she flashes the crowd and gets arrested
exactly,
for it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
There's no more nudity after that.
Right.
Like, which is fine, though. I didn't watch this expecting nudity, and I'm kind of glad they
didn't. That was just out of place. Yeah.
But it worked there because it got her arrested. It got her in the same room as Lenny Bruce.
Right.
Lenny Bruce comes back a few times throughout the episodes. But yeah, this Amazon, you crushed it with this one.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. All right.
I'll watch it soon enough. Yeah, Amazon. I know. Don't worry about it. Stay calm.
Oh.
Stay calm, Amazon.
Stay calm,
Stay
Amazon.
Calm.
But Tony Shalhoub is awesome, by the way, in this show.
Tony Shalhoub's awesome in anything.
And he's not Monk, but he's like...
Tony Shalhoub on Wings.
Oh, yeah. Tony Shalhoub on Wings was great.
I mean, that's the first thing I think I ever seen Tony Shalhoub in.
I think that's the first thing he was
in. Yeah, and it was like, you know, this guy's funny.
Like, I love him in Men in Black.
Oh, Men in Black, he's great.
I didn't watch a lot of Monk, but what I watched, I really liked him.
Yep.
I just like it when he shows up in things. He was in, what was it, The Siege with Denzel Washington?
Yeah, yeah.
He was great in that movie.
Well, even, like, dramatic, comedic, whatever Tony Shalhoub's doing is really... done well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wasn't he in Galaxy Quest?
Yeah, he's the one of the aliens.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know.
But anyway. All right. Well, we are not going to go as long as we did with the comic books, apparently.
Fine.
Well, we didn't talk about the Jurassic World preview.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. I liked it.
It was good.
I like the end at the little Allosaurus who's on his back trying to swim up.
I'm just very curious to see what's happening, like what it's about.
Yeah.
And why the volcano is all of a sudden going off.
Yeah. And who knows?
And who forgot about Isla Sorna? It's like, you know, the thing where they're sitting there debating, do we rescue the dinosaurs? Well, yeah. Take them over to the other island. There's another island over there.
And all those dinosaurs are dead.
Are
Maybe.
They?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't remember what happened at the end of 3. They need to rewatch
well,
it.
Well, 3, that was where the raptors got their eggs and the military rolled up and saved Sam Neill and, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I still like that idea that there's two actors from Jurassic Park in Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah. Even though Sam Neill's just a bit part, but, you know.
And now Matt Damon might come back.
Oh, really?
There's a rumor that Matt Damon wants to come back and do something else with that character that he was playing.
Oh, how he's an Asgardian?
Yeah, yeah.
That would be funny.
I say do it like the old Coulson shorts.
Yeah.
And just do him as a few shorts or whatever. That would be fun.
That would be. All right, guys. Before we wrap up, just a reminder, If you like what we talk about and you had fun this year like we have so far, check out our Patreon page. It's Patreon at Infamous Podcast or patreon.com/infamous podcast. Lots of cool things. You can get a free shirt out of it, or well, you can buy a shirt. Actually, if you want a shirt, you can go to our shop and buy a shirt. That would be great. And then we are sponsored by Comixology, like you heard at the beginning of the show. And go to infamouspodcast.com/Comixology. And if you sign up for a link, or if you click the link and sign up for a free trial to Comixology Unlimited, it helps out the show.
Thank you. I don't know what else to
say. I don't know.
But anyway. Everybody's on the Star Wars The Last Jedi thing. So it's like, you know, everybody's getting pumped up for that. And it's just like, yeah, okay.
So you said you hope it doesn't suck. I already put it on my favorite movie.
I don't
of
think
year,
it's going to suck. It's 2.5 hours, though. I'm like, this is the longest Star Wars movie ever.
It's 2 hours 34, which makes it 7 minutes longer than the previous.
Is it 2 hours 34?
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
I looked it up and it said 150 minutes. On one of the websites, it said 150 minutes.
So the original cut,
like,
Rian Johnson.
Damn it, with the damn previews, we're going to be in theater for 3 hours.
Well, Rian Johnson said the original cut was 3 hours, and then he went out and cut it down.
Here's a piece of advice for Disney right now. He cut it down, release a director's cut.
No, he said this. He said this because he made the cuts. Right?
Okay.
He was in the editing room. He said, this is the director's cut.
Okay.
The things they cut out hurt the story.
Okay.
So we don't want to see the director's cut.
Okay. Then we don't want to see the director's cut of this. But I'd still like to see Rogue One. I'd like to see the original Rogue One.
I would like to see Gareth Edwards' original view.
Yeah.
I'd like to see David Ayer's original version of Suicide Squad.
Well, yeah that would be interesting.
Or I kind of want to see what Scott Snyder intended to do with the black suit Superman and Darkseid.
Zack Snyder.
What'd I say?
Scott.
Oh yeah, Zack Snyder. Sorry. Yeah. Thank you. I'm not interested in seeing what Joss Whedon had to do.
I don't care about the Joss Whedon version. I want
to
see.
We saw the Joss Whedon version, to be honest.
Well, yeah, you've seen the Warner Brothers executive version.
Well, I think that's the Joss Whedon
version. Take your hands out of the movies and let the person who's running it, like Kevin Feige runs Marvel. Let them run it.
It has to be someone who's not a director, though.
No, a writer.
It should be someone who is a producer who sits outside of all of that can oversee it all. Because having Zack Snyder do it, all he cared about was his movies. If it's Ben Affleck, all he's going to care about is Ben Affleck.
Well, right.
If it's Joss Whedon, all he's going to care about is Joss Whedon.
Yeah. It's got to be like a producer.
Yeah.
It can't be a director.
It's not a filmmaker.
I mean,
it's a film executive who gets it.
Right. I think if you have somebody who's directed stuff,
it's not
but
Jeff
is a
Johns,
producer.
That's for sure.
Oh, no.
He never should have been in that role anyway.
No.
But I said that all along. All right.
I don't know. I'll figure out who it should be and let you know.
All right. So we might.
Hey, Warner Brothers, I'm running the show now.
We might be back before next Friday with a Star Wars review. Maybe.
But probably not.
Maybe. Anyway.
But probably not.
But next week we have movies. And then we're closing out what we're looking forward to in 2018.
Think about it. I'm not going to be able to. I have Star Wars on Thursday. I have something on Friday. I have Star Wars on Saturday. I have to work on Sunday. I have Star Wars on Monday. Wait a minute. I have a lot of Star Wars to do.
You can come over Monday afterwards.
No.
All right. Well, on that
we'll talk about it on the top because it'll probably be a top pick.
Hopefully. All right, guys. See you later.
See ya.
The Infamous Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. This show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. Those amazing banners that go with our show notes, those are designed by Johnny, and the show is mixed and engineered by me. Our intro music is Moose from bensounds.com. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast. To stay up to date on the latest news about the show and find out what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and what we're looking for is help to grow the show to keep bringing you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as at Johnny Podorf, and I'm on most social networks as at Ryan Tudor. So whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.